Now, Wicked is in the cinemas at the moment. I see that already it has taken in $360 million. That's over a third of a billion. And if you don't know, Wicked is the origin story of the Wicked Witch of the West. And you probably know this already, but that's Wicked is based on a musical, as in the movie is based on a musical, and the musical is based on a book. And the book's released in 1995. And the author, Gregory Maguire, joins us now from New York. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, how are you, sir?
That's context for you, Gregory. We know where you are and who you are and what you've done. So how much of that 360 million will you see?
Virtually none. I don't think I have any particular participation except... kind sir, who worries about the poor at the Christmas holidays. I think that my book is back on the bestseller list, and that always puts a gleam in a mistletoe's eye.
And you're obviously enjoying the success of Wicked.
Oh yes, I am. Now I have to tell you, for your Irish listeners, that I lived in Dublin for about 6 months, way back in the 70s. I lived in Harold's Cross, so it feels nice to be talking to you across the water.
And why did you live here, Gregory?
I went to a school called the School of Irish Studies in Ballsbridge, which was distantly associated with Trinity College, and I was there for only one semester because that's all I could afford.
Right. Okay. So there's a Maguire. Have you traced your ancestry?
To the best I can, I believe we're from across the border in Fermanagh.
Yeah.
But we were the kind of family that did not remember to collect our papers when we were fleeing from torches and pitchforks. So I can't say for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I've seen pictures of you on the red carpet with Ariana Grande and all the other stars.
Yeah, we call her Ari. She's my dear friend.
Oh, sorry.
Ari.
But because you manifest, not that it was before it even was an idea, or maybe when it was an idea, you saw her sing one of the songs from the Broadway musical, and you thought she would be the perfect person to play Glinda if ever there was a movie.
Yes, yes. If ever a movie there was, Ariana's the one, because of how she can sing. She's great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the film.
I have, yes.
It's a tour de force in just about every direction.
Yes, she's the quadruple threat, I think, or triple threat or something. She can sing, she can dance, she can act. I don't know
yes.
what the quadruple part of it is, but there's there's more to it, yeah. Yeah. I'm fascinated by your story because you're one of seven. Is that it? One of seven? Catholic upbringing. Where were you in the family?
That's quite right. I am the middle child of seven,
right.
But the family has the sad history that is now luckily not so common. My mother, my birth mother, who was Greek, died in childbirth when I was born.
Ah.
So
When you were born.
When I was born.
Wow.
I was the youngest one of the first batch,
yes.
as we call them. And then my father, Maguire, married another Irish woman, McAuliffe,
yeah.
and she and he raised me together. So while my experience of life is as the middle child in a family of seven kids with a mother and a father, the backstory for me is actually quite tragic, and it's amazing that I can speak in complete sentences.
Yeah, how does that impact on you, the fact that you know that your mother died while giving you life?
It has not always been easy. And there's a scene in Wicked, the movie, the musical, and the book, in which Elphaba says to Glinda, "I'm the reason my mother died.
Yeah.
My father didn't want another child to come out green, so he made my mother chew some leaves, and they actually caused my sister to come out handicapped and my mother to die on the childbirth bed." So whenever I get to that point in the story, I have to admit a chill goes up and down my spine. And I think to myself, well, thank you. Thank you to my mother. Thank you to my father. Thank you to my stepmother who raised me, for allowing me somehow to be more or less mentally stable.
Yeah. Just while we're there, because just for people who don't know the story of Wicked, it's as I say, it's the origin story of the Wicked Witch of the West. You've given her a name which you didn't have in The Wizard of Oz, Elphaba,
right.
And she's born green, and as a result of that, she is an outsider. And there's a trauma, I suppose, of being an outsider. And I'm wondering, and we're going deep pretty soon on here, Gregory, I'm wondering, was your life, as in, apart from the fact that your mother died in childbirth, but growing up gay in a strictly Catholic family in the 60s and 70s, did that inform when you wrote the character of Elphaba?
Well, yes, it did. But I have to admit that, with, you know, no disrespect intended to my father's line and to your beautiful nation, which I adore, I was, after all, part Irish. So did I know what I was or who I was when I was a kid? You can answer that for me. Of course not. The Irish aren't given to that kind of introspection. I figured it out, however, by the time I was sort of the end of college and, yes, you know, in my early 20s.
So yeah, because you moved away from home and up to Boston to go to
that's
college.
Right.
And that's when I suppose you got a sense of self.
Well, that's true. I think everybody has to leave the family hearth. For one thing, you have to have some place to come back to at Christmas. Mm. But also, you leave in order to see how you behave when you are not being inspected by the librarians, the parents, the other parents in the neighborhood, the nuns, the priests, and everybody else who make up a very, very happy community, but nonetheless have their own opinions about who you are,
yes,
even before you do. And that's an important part of why I think people go away to college. And it's part of why I went to Dublin, frankly, because I couldn't afford to go away to school when I was in university, and I paid myself the privilege of coming to Europe for 6 months as a kind of a, you know, an exchange gift since I had to live in my high school bedroom all through college.
Yeah. And you've written numerous books, but Wicked was written in the stars because there was a family tradition of watching The Wizard of Oz every year. Because back in the day, of course, you know, you'd know VHSs or Netflixes or anything like that.
Absolutely.
You were at the mercy of what the people in the big TV stations offered you. And they offered The Wizard of Oz once a year. Was it at Christmas time?
Well, I was just talking to somebody about this. We have different opinions about it, but I think it was more like Easter.
Right,
because
okay.
Because I do remember after it aired playing the story out with my brothers and sisters and some neighbor kids I corralled in the backyard of our house, and we were all wearing shorts and T-shirts. So it must have been warmer. It
yes.
must have been warmer than probably annually at Easter. But I'll tell you, for a child who was pretty much restricted from watching much TV in childhood, my parents disapproved of it, they made the exception for The Wizard of Oz, and therefore the annual broadcast of The Wizard of Oz became a kind of liturgical event in our neighborhood. There was Christmas, there was Easter, there was Good Friday, there was The Wizard of Oz. It was a national holiday of terror, and it took on a kind of scriptural significance.
Yeah. And on what stage did you say to yourself, well, you know, the Wicked Witch must have a backstory. She is the way she is for some reason.
Well, I probably started thinking not about the Wicked Witch, but about the Wicked Wizard by the time I was about 10, because one of my brothers says, you were a moral savant, Gregory. You were always trying to puzzle out the right and wrong in people's behavior, including in the behavior of characters in stories. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me, if you remember the 1939 film with Judy Garland, there's a scene in which she comes up and she realizes the wizard is a humbug, and she says, "You're a bad man," meaning you sent me off to the West to kill your nemesis, and you put me in danger while you hid behind this curtain. And he says to her in the movie, "Oh, I'm not a bad man. I'm just a bad wizard." Well, by the time I was 10, watching this, I thought, you know what? That's a load of bollocks.
Baloney.
You are a terrible man, and Dorothy should have kicked you in the you-know-what, because you did a terrible, terrible thing. That really disturbed me first. But then you kind of work back from that thinking, well, why, if you were willing to potentially sacrifice a child in order to take out your enemy, what is it that your enemy represents? And why are you so scared of her? And that brought me to the character of the Wicked Witch of the West.
Mm. Elphaba. And I love the story of how you come up with her name, because it's totally invented by you. So it's a nod to the original author of The Wizard of Oz.
Yes, it is, whose name was Lyman Frank Baum. So I took his initials, LFB, and I played around with them, trying to pronounce them one way or the other, Lafaba, LFB, And then I stumbled on Elphaba, which I loved because it sounds a little bit like alphabet. And what do you need a magic alphabet in order to cast a magic spell. Mm. I also loved it because it isn't too pretty, and yet there isn't any other name exactly like it. Now, do you know that not long ago, by that I mean last week, I was signing books in a bookstore, and for the first time in 30 years, a woman came up to me and she said, "I have to tell you, I named my daughter Elphaba."
Oh, no.
And
sorry.
I thought, I've heard of a lot of kittens being called Elphaba and a couple of dogs, but not a daughter. So I said a Hail Mary for the child.
What was your reaction? Sorry, I missed that.
I said a Hail Mary under my breath.
Yes. It's like a boy named Sue, isn't it? The Johnny Cash song.
God bless her. Well, you know J.M. Barrie, the author of Peter Pan, is the person who invented the name Wendy.
Ah.
Before 1900, there was no child's name named Wendy, nothing like it. He invented Wendy, and it became a very popular girl's name in America, at least, and I suspect it's not unheard, not unknown of it.
Isn't it brilliant? You know, Elphaba sounds bad, sounds evil, and that's we've been socialized, have we? Wendy sounds sort of nice and airy and friendly and open.
Exactly. But who knows? Elphaba might be the next freedom fighter, you know,
yes,
to take down the next administration, who knows? I won't get into that.
Yeah, Look, I suppose, played a big part in the publication of the book Wicked, because I didn't know about the legals of it. And I was thinking, how can a man just take the characters from The Wizard of Oz and write a book?
You're quite right. Luck had a lot to do with it, because when I got the idea to write the book, I made the erroneous assumption that L. Frank Baum's estate was in the public domain already. Well, when I finished my manuscript and I sent it to my agent, he wrote back and said, "You are such a brilliant man. The estate of L. Frank Baum only came into public domain 4 months ago, and you're the first one to come up with a book based on it." And I had no idea. That was just the luck of timing.
It's a fluke, complete fluke.
It's a fluke, or, you know, to go back to our Catholic origins, maybe it's grace. I don't know. Maybe it's the spirit of my mother,
yeah,
you know, coming down and anointing me on the shoulder. Who knows?
Now, you had written a number of children's books and maybe teen books, and this is your first adult fiction, Wicked.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched the movie last night, and it's rated PG here, parental guidance. So they've obviously, the musical and the movie has been softened from the original script.
Yes, that's true. My book is a real, genuine adult novel, and I will tell any listeners who are thinking about getting it for their sensitive little boys or girls who are, you know, between the ages of 5 and 10, don't.
Yeah.
There is a, you know, I purposely put a sex scene of a kind of illicit and inappropriate sex between puppet figures in the first 10 pages of the book, because I wanted it to be really clear to somebody scanning the beginning to see whether it was the right reading level for their child.
So you put your mark down. You laid out your stall, so to speak.
People to know.
Yes. Yeah.
If they didn't like it, they could walk away without having plunked down $25 for it.
I was saying to my wife last night, because I had to go. I didn't have to. I enjoyed it immensely. I went to see the movie last night by way of research. And I was saying that we were interviewing you today, and she said, "You know, there's a little bit of controversy about the book." And I went, "Oh no, great, bit of controversy." Seemingly, and you probably know about this already, Gregory, that they've done a new edition of the book with Wicked, you know, stills from the movie on the cover. And there's confusion there, because as we established already, the movie is PG, the book is far from PG. So some parents unwittingly are picking up the book for their, you know, teen, preteen, and it's not suitable.
Well, that is correct. I agree it's not suitable, but I don't agree that it's unfortunate, because I will still get the money if they decide, even if they decide to suppress the book, and, you know, for 5 years, which is within their rights and, in fact, their duties as a parent to do.
Yes, yes.
Pick it up and then save it for them, because we all choose our own reading, ultimately.
Yeah.
If a child is not going to, if it's not appropriate for a child, basically the child will know it even before the grown-up does. And the child will say, "This is boring," or "This is about all that yucky adult stuff. I don't like this. Ugh." And then they'll go out and they'll do something more nutritive, like, you know, rob a candy store or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose just be warned is what we'll say. Now,
absolutely. And yeah. You know, joking aside, I very much wanted to be careful that people would know that when the book was published 30 years ago. In fact, I suppressed from my biography on the back flap of the book any indication that I had ever written for children.
Uh-huh.
I did not want people to think, oh, this is his next children's book, but it's fatter than the others.
Yes, yes, yeah.
You know, so yes, I joke a lot, but in fact, I quite agree with you. It's not suitable for children.
No.
And if you happen to have bought it already, just put it in a cupboard someplace for a couple of years.
Yes, yeah. Now, you were at the filming last year. It was filmed in London, studios in somewhere near London.
Yes.
That must have been magical to walk into that world that you'd created in your book.
Oh, my gosh. It was. I have never been to a film set before except once when one of my other books was filmed for ABC Disney on a much smaller budget and scale. This film lot was completely taken over by the movie Wicked, and I'd say there were 7 or 8 sound stages stuffed with the scenes that you saw on.
Because
on the
you, have film the, you have the Emerald City, you have exteriors, interiors, you have Shiz University, you know, you have the forest, and
yeah, the forest is a completely built forest. I mean, you can tell because the trees don't look like real trees, but. I mean, the forest was in a soundstage, and they built, you know, they carted in dirt, and they roughed it up, and it's an amazing achievement, I think.
Well, that was my favorite set, if you like, was the forest set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How interesting. Well, you know, I can understand why, because one of the very, very few complaints I had about the film, and I can even rationalize why they chose to do it this, is that the whole world in which these characters live and move, except for the forest and except for the castle tower at the very end of the film, is so clean that it doesn't look real. You know, I mean, whoever went to college and didn't find graffiti on, you know, on the walls of the cafeteria.
Who would spot that and complain about it? a certain type of person, Gregory.
I wanted my Oz to be more real than the MGM film set. And up until a certain point, it did not seem so. However, I agree with you. The forest scene seemed more believable, even with its, you know, exotic trees.
And there's a beautiful scene between Elphaba and Prince Fierro.
Yes.
And she's comparing herself to Glinda, played by Ariana Grande. And she's saying, I'm not that girl. We'll just play a bit of that song, which is a beautiful song. I'm not that girl.
Yeah.
The gentle girl, that's the girl he chose, and heaven knows I'm not that girl.
That's lovely, isn't it?
It's terrific.
Yeah, yeah, and great performances by Cynthia Erivo and Aria Grande. And there's a cameo there, Jeff Goldblum as the not so great wizard. I love that somebody called you a moral savant. So you've constantly questioned, you know, power and how the world works and why things are the way they are. And oftentimes you've come up with answers that wouldn't be. That, you know, everybody's answer to things.
Well, that's right. I mean, but the real point, I think, is that business that I bet you do too, the constant questioning. Mm-hmm. That's actually our job as citizens, and it's our job as, if you want to consider it, souls, and, you know, in God's universe. We're supposed to question and figure it out and make changes where we can.
Yeah.
And so I'm probably noisier about it because I'm Irish, I'm articulate, and I'm verbose. But I think it's something that we all do. We all look at behavior and say, well, wait a minute, is that actually right? And if it isn't right, what actually is wrong with this? What's wrong with this picture, as we say? And we all do that, and we should do it. And that's part of what Wicked is about, to remind us how significant it is to focus our apparatus of perception upon the mysteries of the world and see if we can know them a little better and by therefore figure out what to do next.
You'll be encouraged to hear that there's a pilot project in Ireland to introduce critical thinking onto the curriculum of primary schools.
I am encouraged.
Yes.
That's great.
Isn't it?
It's terrific. We need more of it over here. Export it, please.
Obviously you do from recent events.
Yes.
Yeah. So who's your favorite then of the stars of Wicked?
Oh, well, you know, I am a gay man, so I'd be betraying my kind if I didn't say Jonathan Bailey.
Yes.
But in fact, it is hard to make a favorite. It is impeccably cast. Cynthia Erivo acts so well to the camera in a way that even the great Idina Menzel could not do, because she had to act for people sitting up in the gods, you know,
yes,
25,000 seats away. Whereas Cynthia can act to the camera in a way that breaks your heart,
yes,
over and over and over again.
She's
Ariana has a different role, but I think Cynthia is in some ways the person to whom I'm most grateful,
okay,
because I think She catches Elphaba's soul.
And I suppose Elphaba, of all the characters, was your creation, you know?
Yes. I think so.
Gregory, I really enjoyed that chat. Thanks so much. I'm sad to hear that you don't get a cut out of that 360 million, but I'm sure you do.
You know, money's only money. We all know that.
Yes, it is. You're right. Thanks, Gregory. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Bye. Take care and have a happy holiday.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.